John Vale, politics man, Cambridge News.
John, another night, another hustings. What was tonight?
Tonight was a very interesting hustings about foreign policy, specifically the Middle East. The Israel and Palestine conflict was the main topic. And yet another full house, as you would have seen. So,
over 100?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a spare seat, was there? There was a standing room only. So yeah, that just reflects what we've been seeing throughout the hustings in the city, basically. Very specific topics, expert audiences, and packed house in a very high level of debate among the candidates and the audience. And I think sometimes the candidates, frankly, knew less than those in the audience, which is to be expected.
But on this issue, foreign policy, it's the Cambridge Evening News, or their political correspondent. We've done health, we've done housing, we've done education. Foreign policy, is that a natural topic for a local paper?
Not really, I guess. I mean, it's quite difficult to make that relevant to, you know, if you're not the average Cambridge man on the street. But then it's very important that, you know, people on the street, the Cambridge voters, know exactly where their candidates stand on a very wide range of issues, from, you know, what they'll do about your potholes to how they will solve, you know, the biggest sort of humanitarian crises facing our country. And I think people need to have that full picture. And as well, it's also, they need to have the full picture that the Conservative and UKIP candidates were invited to this event and didn't turn up. So that's another point to make.
You're going home, you made notes, you're going back to the office, you're writing up this for tomorrow's paper. But did you tweet when you were at the meeting?
I did, until my phone ran out of battery. So that's a bit of a cop-out, I guess. But yes, I was trying to keep up on top of things. Because again, for those who follow these things on Twitter, I'm never sure how many there are, but I think there's a few. There was an event in Linton tonight where the South East Cambridgeshire candidates were there, and one of my fellow politico, he's one of the local bloggers here, Anthony Carp, and he was there and he was tweeting from that. So you sort of had, we were both using the same hashtag. So yeah, so people who were at one and not the other, or at neither, there's a record there in cyberspace, people to look at the debate and make their own judgments.
And what, just give us a flavour of one of your tweets.
Well, I mean, there was nothing too expansive, to be honest with you. I mean, you only have 140 characters, so all you try and do really with, all I try and do with Twitter really, is not to give any sort of interpretation of comments or to try and, you know, analyse comments. It's purely just to report comments. So yeah, I'd pick up on, you know, for instance, Dan Grief from one of the Labour South Cambridgeshire candidates mentioned the fact that he worked in a refugee camp in Palestine, so tweeted that out so people know that. So that, you know, gives people a perspective of where he's coming at this debate from.
And you dug down to find the human interest story.
Well, I think that's a very important point, a very relevant point, isn't it? Because again, Sebastian on the other end of the table, you know, acknowledged that, you know, perhaps he wasn't as well versed in these things, which is purely understandable. You know, I mean, I saw Sebastian earlier in the day grappling with how you tackle the diagnosis of dyslexia in schools. So, you know, I think that's what these candidates face. You know, they have to go from, or in the afternoon to with how you dress diagnosing dyslexia to 2 hours later how you solve the crisis of the Middle East. So yeah, I think that's, you know, so understanding where his point is coming from, but also then like you say then Dan's perspective is, you know, I think is gives him a certain amount of credibility.
Okay, 140 characters for Twitter. How many words in your word count for your story? I presume you'll file it tonight. Let me guess. 550.
You're not far wrong. You're not far wrong. And again, because I've done this with a number of hustings, you know, and that's a lot for a Cambridge News article, to be honest with you. We very rarely go much beyond 600. And yet, even with that, in an hour and a half debate, I mean, you barely scratch the surface. I mean, I've once, not in the hustings in particular, but I did about an hour-long interview and transcribed the whole lot and just sort of, you know, question-answer. And that was about 6,000-7,000 words, so yeah, to almost, you know, it's only really possibly to capture about 10-15-20% of the debate, so yeah, it's not an easy task, and it's obviously very subjective, because what I found the most interesting thing may not be the most interesting thing for others, but yeah, do our best.
And it might be who didn't turn up to the hustings rather than what was said at the hustings.
Well, that is, you know, that is, like I mentioned earlier, that is a point to be made. You know, it's a well-known fact for people who go to these things that UKIP aren't very many of them. But yeah, I mean, that's a sort of easy, almost quite an easy sell, if you like, because again, you know, the complexity and knowledge of the people in the room there does make You know, it's not the sort of, you know, thing you can turn around in a few paragraphs. You know, there's a lot of context, there's a lot of explanation, there's a lot of knowledge in there that you have to get on the page.
Now, we've got about 10 days to go. Do you think these hustings are swinging voters? They might swing Cambridge?
It's very difficult to say. The one I'm interested in, actually, is in 2 days' time, because that's at King's College, that's their politics society is hosted in that. And again, if you look, there's been two polls announced at the back end of last week, student polls by the two student publications, which had Labour winning, or, you know, the student vote was going to Labour. But then if you rewind about 6 weeks ago, there was a debate at the Cambridge Union with a student audience, and they did a straw poll afterwards of just who you know, the audience thought was the best candidate, who they'd vote for, and that was Julian. So yeah, from that perspective, there's a very direct, you know, correlation which you can match there. And
so the student vote might swing it in Cambridge.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, it's huge. It's huge in Cambridge, and that's why there's been such a big, you know, issue around the registration of students here as well. So yeah, it's just that was just a very direct parallel where you might be able to measure this. But I made this point actually around the Chamali and the wristbands thing. Something with the hustings is you can do well and you can perform, but I don't think you win the election through a hustings, but you can certainly lose it if you say the wrong thing. I think that's the sort of overriding point, is that's why these candidates have done so well to keep up with a very packed schedule and try and make their argument to so many people, because like I say, there is a real risk there potentially, I think.
Now, the wristband gate, so-called saga, started at an NHS hustings at the Methodist Church about 10 days ago on a Monday. But do you have any reflection on that?
It's one of those things where in the good old days, where the press was in paper and not online, that basically wouldn't have actually been a story, because they wouldn't have had time to file it, because it I think it became abundantly clear by about lunchtime on the Tuesday afterwards that Chamali Fernando doesn't believe what was widely reported. But unfortunately, by that time, a tweet had been picked up, it had been reported by the student press, and then by the national press, and then by the international press, and the snowball effect had gone, and that was that. Whereas, like I say, in the old day, before you had social networks, before you know people would actually consider it and, you know, actually get her quotes into context, because we were the first to actually publish what she said in full, but we didn't do that till about 1 o'clock the following day. And by that time, it was everywhere, and, you know, Tory candidate in wristband shame, which, frankly, I was there. I think other people there, we almost didn't bat an eyelid at it. And yet it's grown into something that will probably define this election, which is just mad when you think about it. I mean, if you compare what we reported first to what everyone else has reported, I think you'll see that we try to keep balance.
John, it's a good way to finish this interview. Thank you.
Marvellous. Thank you very much. See you soon.